In the previous episode of the Zista podcast, we were talking about the intersection of AI and healthcare. And in today's session, we're going to focus on what students need to do to succeed in this space. Welcome to the Zista podcast, where we invite industry leaders and academicians to answer questions that students have within a particular subject area. Joining us today is Sumit Maniar, a product and business development executive who's worked in different parts of the world and has over 25 years of experience. Let's go straight into the session. Yeah. Hi, Sumit. Welcome back to the Zista podcast.
Yes, thanks. Nice to be back again.
The last time we connected, we had a really interesting discussion on the intersection of AI and healthcare, how AI is really playing an important role in improving service delivery and making life of physicians and even say healthcare assistants easier. There are a lot of possibilities, and it was really interesting to hear from you on those points.
Yeah, and it's just a fascinating subject, and so much is happening that it's very hard to tell. It's just so much to keep track of, in the sense that I'm on the side, I'm helping a deep tech venture fund look at AI, and I look at the chat channels and all the research papers coming out, and it's just, there's no way anyone can keep track of all of it. It's like you need AI for AI to track all the advances of AI. Similarly, what was happening in Web3, there was just an explosion of so many crypto and blockchain and this companies, and it just, but in AI, it's just gone quite large.
I know. I think while things are going to become really easy and simple for us, the deployment of these solutions, the kind of infrastructure and warehousing is going to get more complicated. You can just foresee that, right? I thought today we'd focus a little bit more about on, you know, students. So there are students who are interested in AI. They may be interested in entering a field relating to AI and healthcare. So I wanted to ask you, what would be, you know, what's an ideal background or what skill set do students work on if they want to enter the healthcare technology space?
I think the healthcare technology space, there's two ways to go about it. One is you could approach it from the product aspects, and in the sense that you may not have to be 100% technical, so you become more product focused in the healthcare space. And probably that would come from an engineering background. Now, I know in business schools, they focus on product management, which didn't exist 10, 15 years ago. So that is one area to focus on. The technical side, or even on the product side, where you become a little more technical, but it's nascent in the sense that you could learn computer science or some computer engineering or aspects of electrical engineering where you're learning coding, and then you could focus on data science, or they have AI ML courses, or even now majors or sub-majors in those fields. And then you could just apply to healthcare companies. And that's another route to get into that space. I think specifically to get into healthcare as a sector, you could also specialize in a master's in public health or a master's in like an MBA that focuses on healthcare practices, or just more on the product side and be focused on just targeting healthcare companies as your first place to work. So I think the barrier to entry is probably easier these days than long before, because before hospitals were more focused on the care side or even traditional medicine. I don't, even if it's in US, India, Australia, other places, it was just you needed the medical degree and those aspects. But now it's opened up with the aspects of using technology and applying it in the healthcare setting. And that opens up avenues from the product side and the engineering side to participate in healthcare. We work with physicians to get WellBrain into the marketplace, but my background isn't a medical background. It's a technical and a business background. And then if I think of a lot of my colleagues who are in the digital health or health related space or health tech, it's come from kind of different disciplines that somewhere along the line, they focused on healthcare and or engineering and applied their skill set in those verticals. So I think it's a lot easier now.
That last point you made, and I'm so happy that you did, talking about different disciplines. I thought it'd be really interesting if you could, take a minute and tell us this. So let's assume you are a service provider offering an AI-based solution in the field of healthcare, right? Students may not anticipate or imagine the different kind of disciplines that people come from to make that solution, a reality. So even if you look at the work that you've done at WellBrain or perhaps Cipra.ai, what are the different disciplines, from where the employees come from? Or it could be a service provider, it could be a contractor, it doesn't matter. But what are the different disciplines where people have come from to make that solution, or which have helped that solution go to the market?
Yeah, so I'm just thinking of all the employees. So at the development side, yes, you had the developers and the engineers that probably hadn't worked in healthcare before, but they get the product requirements and functional requirements from us, then the UI, UX. But then it also comes from salespeople, people who have done sales. And obviously, if in those startup environments, you could benefit better if you bring people from some industry expertise. But they studied different disciplines, and they came from a sales or marketing background. So if you think about it, I think to deliver the solution successfully, yes, we had some people in the medical space, which were the physicians. Then we'd get information from our customers, which are kind of physicians and their staff. Sometimes their staff doesn't have to have all the medical requirements. And yes, sales, marketing, some business development, and all these other functions that are classical, when I say classical, in a normal line of business. So I think to answer your question, I'm just thinking about some of the other companies. Yes, there's two PhDs in AI for this other company, but then there are different care people or supervisory people, some are fresh out of college or university. Without the medical degree, like a liberal arts or other type of degree, and then others were more specific. So I think it's a broader range. It's really interesting. You asked me that question, and now I'm seeing some people with more specialized degrees from unique universities or different universities saying, "Oh, I engineered or I studied biology as an undergrad, but I focused on care management." Those type of solutions or those type of courses didn't exist. So it's kind of interesting to see these type of disciplines come out with respect to all the people that I've worked with, whether it's contractors or employees.
It's really interesting, it's not just the disciplines, but also I would say the different job roles that exist. So I'm imagining that to develop a solution like this, you have people on the infrastructure side with setting up cloud infrastructure, then you would need your analytics team, you need a data science people in from data science, data analytics to kind of looking at that data. Then I would imagine that you also need people from the visualization side. So as you mentioned, the UX piece where people are visualizing how do we display this data to the end user, which is the physicians in this case, so that they can use it very effectively. They don't have to look at a table, or things like that. And then of course the other things that you mentioned about sales, business development, marketing, and research. I would imagine research also is a really important piece of the pie. So when you think about it, so many different job roles, so many different backgrounds in terms of expertise come together to make a solution take off. And I think it's okay to start small, but as you start developing it, as you start fleshing it out, you start looking at what are the skill sets that you need, and then to look at people who can fulfill that and to really make that solution go out there in the marketplace. So it's really interesting in terms of the journey a startup takes to really reach a point where it's being deployed and being used in many places, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think in healthcare, because it's so human-centered compared to being a startup in other verticals, it takes a little bit longer, sometimes much longer, to get the adoption because you have to have the technology correct, the data correct, and the solution correct. such that people can use it, because obviously you don't want a health solution that doesn't work. So you actually have to satisfy many more constituents in the delivery of that healthcare solution. If it's on the data health informatics side, where you're not involving any people in the loop, then it's easier. Like if it's claims processing or if it's data going from one institution to another, that's a different story. But on the care side of things, yeah, I think there has to be a lot of input from all these different disciplines to really make it work, and a lot of input from the patients themselves because they have to use it, and a lot of input from the staff, not only the physicians, because the physicians may like the solution, but like I said earlier in the previous episode, if the staff don't like it, they may not use it, even though their physician doctor tells them, hey, you need to use it, because if the workload is higher, then they're not going to adopt it. So you have to think about all these type of solutions to work.
Pretty interesting. Sumit, what would be your advice to young professionals, if professionals out there who want to develop technology solutions for healthcare, what would you tell them?
I would tell them there's a lot of opportunity out there right now, and especially what I'm seeing, what's happening in India. And I myself have tried several businesses in India, and at the time, and it was all related to internet penetration. And now the adoption rate is off the charts. And the good thing is, you could probably develop a decent enough solution for the Indian market, and then it could expand on a worldwide basis. You're starting to see that with many, many companies like Innovaccer and things like that, where it was an Indian-centric solution that pivoted to the States. So the advice for anyone, I think the opportunity to get into digital health, into the healthcare realm, there's tremendous opportunities, whether it's solving all the early heart attack issues with the Indians, right? Or even diabetes and all these other things that are going on, or even rural solutions. And I think technology can reduce that cost and make it much more efficient. And now, with everyone having phones or some type of device, and even lower cost sensors, like even 2, 3 rupee, or no, even 20 rupee sensors. I mean, it's just going to be very exciting. And I think, who knows, maybe India could be at the forefront of a lot of things with the advance of Aadhaar. I argue with my wife, worldwide, there might be a worldwide Aadhaar number, right? And if you could use that as your permission to move your patient data from one provider or one health entity, I think places in India where it's not as rigid yet, those type of solutions might come out even better or faster, and it could go across the world. So I think there's a lot of opportunities.
It's really interesting, and I'm sure a lot of students in India who might tune into this podcast will think that there's really scope for me to build something here for India, but then to also think bigger and really take that solution to other markets. Just one thing, because you've had so much experience working with so many different markets, let's assume you have a solution that's successful in one market and you want to take that solution to, say, another market. What are some of the factors that you should be looking at before you take that step?
And you're talking in particular healthcare, or just general experience that I've had in
Well,
multiple?
you could respond from the context of healthcare, but please feel free to draw on your experiences, in other sectors.
So one thing, it was fortunate. So I'll take a step back. When I was in the, for my video game experiences, it was somewhat a little bit easier because video games attract people, all around the world. And then you could make a decision to say, because most people know English, you could start seeing the traffic patterns. And then you say, okay, we need to really enter this market and then stop offering local language solutions and then local language customer support and local language partnerships for distribution. So that was some of the decision points that we made entering into Turkey or Korea or all these markets that I had operated in, sometimes I had to live in. And then now, with respect to even healthcare being regulated, it probably wouldn't be as different, with the caveat the US is probably the toughest market to enter with a digital health solution. But I think if you can go to NHS or the UK, and to enter these markets, yeah, you usually kind of have to go there to learn it and get the lay of the land. Now, we had networks to rely on, or even opportunities to work with other counterparties, but just by going there, or even the fact that how we met a long time ago was just by making hypotheses and saying, okay, I need to speak to these people to get the solution out. And that's how we met. So I think it still makes sense to be boots on the ground just to learn about the market. And sometimes, if you have venture capital investors, they help you with many introductions, or you build your networks. And I think with LinkedIn and all these type of things, it kind of brings that cost down to figuring out how to reach into markets. So I don't think it's entering into any market is challenging, but I don't think it was as challenging maybe 20, 30 years ago when you didn't have all these information systems available to you. But I think it's probably a lot easier. Healthcare, again, is a little more regulated, so then you have to figure out the local nuances of how solutions really work. And then you can easily, there's so many digital health companies. I'm part of this ecosystem called Startup Health, and there are health companies from all around the world, and it's like a network. And it's like, oh, hey, there's a CEO in Argentina doing this startup, and I want to know about the Argentinian health market. I could just reach out or maybe fly out there and meet him accordingly. So I think these type of dynamics are much easier, especially if you have a company in India and want to start expanding into other markets.
It's really, really cool. I mean, the tools and the platforms that are available today to just get information, to network, I think it makes it a lot easier. I think it's really encouraging for students and even I would say young founders to hear this. I'm sure many of them are already, engaged with people in the community, but this structure that you have explained right now, I think really will really help students. Really dream big and plan better. So thank you for sharing that, Sumit.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'll leave with this note, and this just came into my mind. One of my colleagues, he's now one of the head researchers on the consulting side at IBM for AI. And a couple of years ago, he told me so many companies are coming to India just because of the data sets available, and largely because so many Indians now have mobile phones. And it's just much more robust, richer data that they can get or inputs into training AI models. So you guys are right there. I think that tells you something. And they're doing the consulting with big FMCGs or Fortune 500 or Global 1000 type companies. So there's a lot of rich data to be leveraged from India and can be used in other use cases. And one last thing I will say is, like, we're trying to get more data faster with respect to Cipra. And similarly, there's another company called Twin Health, and it did the same thing. Solution was kind of developed here. They went to India first to get more patients and data faster, and then they used that to validate to sell to health systems here. So classic example of going back and forth between US and India. So I see that that's going to happen a lot too, and maybe it'll go the other way around, India, US, back to India. So,
Awesome. This has been a really engaging and good session. So thank you once again for making time and joining us, Sumit. Really appreciate it. And thanks for that.
yes, you're welcome, and thanks for the invite and having me speak.
It's pretty apparent that there are a lot of opportunities for the application of AI in the healthcare space. I hope you enjoyed this session. I certainly did. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube to keep getting content like that. You can also follow us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Our handle is the Zista Podcast. This is your host, Amit Ahuja, signing out. Till we meet again, we'd say, stay curious.